I call this a commercial for statistics. Statistics taste great, less filling, won't leave a bad aftertaste, whatever. Start with three reasons to take AP statistics generically. One is that it's a useful subject matter. Number two is that the curriculum is excellent. It's one of the better AP tests. I also teach AP economics, and I really dislike the AP economics curriculum, but I really like the statistics curriculum. And finally, if you're taking AP statistics with me, you get somebody who's got a professional applied statistics background. And that's rare. One thing, people who can do applied statistics typically can make more money than teachers. They wouldn't be teaching for the money. And in fact, a lot of the people who teach like AP statistics will be teachers who never took a statistics class and just learned it in order to teach the class. And when you get to college, you're more likely to have somebody who has a good statistics background, but they may or may not be excited about applied statistics the way I am. So anyway, so those are the three main reasons, and I'm going to go into a couple of them in more detail. Statistics are a useful subject matter. The uses for statistics have really bloomed. They've exploded in recent years. I could start with financial markets. That's where some of my experience began, working in the mortgage industry. That's some of the more complicated uses of statistics. It's actually a bit of a challenge to explain how it gets used, but statistical models are very deeply embedded now in the way mortgages are bought and sold, in the stock market, in the bond market, and so on. And statistics has had a huge impact on financial markets. Similarly, insurance really was probably the first industry to make use of statistics, even hundreds of years ago, because insurance, by its nature, is a statistical problem. The credit card industry has made great uses of statistics. The credit card companies know more about more people in this country than the FBI, the police, and the Homeland Security put together. I like to tell a story that and this is a true story, that in 2002 there was a sniper terrorizing the Washington, D.C. area. That sniper's credit card was taken away by the credit card companies based on one transaction. It just seemed out of line, and statistical model said take away that. The police stopped the sniper 10 separate times during the sniper escapade for for sort of being asleep in a car at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and did nothing. So it just gives you an illustration of what goes on with statistical models versus people who don't have a good grasp of statistical models. You can bet that our homeland security is going to become a lot more dependent on statistical models going forward. Okay, the next one is quality control. In business, particularly it started in manufacturing, but it's really spread to all business, there's something called the quality movement. Sometimes called total quality management, sometimes called Six Sigma. All of it is involved in using statistics. So middle managers are trained to develop statistical reports on the processes they supervise. Another example, sports changed a lot. People have been keeping statistics, on baseball and so on for a long time, but they haven't been looking at it the way a statistician has. But in the last 25 years, the statisticians and economists have gotten hold of the data, started to work with it, and they've come up with better ways to run baseball teams. So the young general manager of the Boston Red Sox is somebody who's a fan of the statistical methods, and actually the Oakland Athletics were kind of the pioneers in that. And there's a book called Moneyball about the Oakland Athletics, and it's just a fun book. It shows how the statistics get used. Another important field is medicine. all of the tests of new therapies, new medical devices, involve statistical tests, and you cannot be a knowledgeable doctor today without knowing statistics. I can speak from firsthand experience. One of the things that I'll discuss in my class is a case where a Harvard-trained doctor completely discredited himself in my eyes by not knowing basic probability and basic statistics in a situation that affected me. In general, in social sciences, statistics are used. That's really how people like sociologists and economists are able to demonstrate the whether a theory works or not. They use statistical methods. You cannot be a journalist today and be ignorant of statistics. There was a pretty sad case in 2004. The Washington Post tried to run a what they I'm sure they thought was going to be this very dramatic series on sort of the threats to the middle class, and the data in the article was about the so-called shrinking middle class, but the data in the article showed that the reason the middle class was shrinking was that people were moving up, not that people were moving down. And obviously, the writer of the article didn't understand the data because he didn't discuss it and didn't and he clearly didn't understand the basic statistics involved. I guess if I were to summarize why statistics is becoming more important, is because it has a symbiotic relationship to the computer age. First of all, computers can handle a lot more data. A lot more data is being stored. It's a lot easier to do sophisticated statistical analysis of the data with computers. So the ability to collect data and analyze data has just shot up over the past 40 years, and that has been a big boost to statistics. But another point that you might not realize is how much computer intelligence itself depends on statistics. The best spam filters are based on statistical models. Things like MP3s, which are doing sampling, that's a statistical process. Speech recognition typically is done using statistical models, using pattern recognition that's based on statistics. Search algorithms usually have a statistical component to it. So most of the intelligence that goes into computers comes from statistics. Microsoft has a multi-billion-dollar research facility in England that is mostly dedicated to statistical work because that's where, again, that's where a lot of the intelligence for computers is going to come from better statistical reasoning. Okay, so back to the curriculum. Why the curriculum is such a great curriculum? I think it's because it teaches technical communications. People in extreme, there are people who can communicate but don't know many technical things. They don't know, let's say, engineering or math. On the other extreme, there are people who know math or engineering but are not good at communicating, especially communicating with people who don't know the math or whatever. The real great opportunities are for people who can combine both, understanding a technical subject and communicating it. And that's what this curriculum teaches. People who can do well in statistics, who can will be successful in life. So what does the curriculum look like? Well, the math is actually fairly simple. In a lot of ways, the math is easier than the math that you take with, let's say, trigonometry or calculus. A lot of the heavy lifting, a lot of the hard work gets done by computers and calculators. When you're really doing statistics in the real world, you're using a computer, almost never a calculator. In class, you'd use the calculator just because it's kind of a more universal tool right now than the computer. Maybe in 5 years, people won't be using calculators, so everyone will just have a laptop at school and they'll be using computers. But for now, calculators. The typical problem is presented as a word problem. So you don't You're not presented with x and x squared the way you are in calculus or in trigonometry. The problem comes to you as a word problem. You have to interpret the problem, choose the appropriate statistical technique, get the results, and interpret the results. But it's the interpretation of the problem and the interpretation of the results that's most of the work. And that's what I call technical communication. And it's a great skill to stress, and this course really stresses it. Finally, there are four general topics. The typical order, which I don't use, is this. You start with data description, which I consider sort of Mickey Mouse. Then there's experimental design, which is a lot of terminology and common sense. And in the real world, a lot of the art of statistics is experimental design, but it requires what you would call domain expertise. That is, if you're going to really design a medical experiment, you have to know a lot about the actual medical situation. If you're going to design a political poll, it helps to have a lot of experience with polling. And that kind of domain expertise you get in the real world, you don't get so much in a course. So the course is necessarily a little bit superficial on that. Then you get to probability, which is the core mathematical logic of statistics. And then you get to statistics, or inferential statistics, which builds on that mathematical core and puts in a lot of terminology and a lot of procedures. So what I do in the course is I start with the probability part, start with the hardest part, and then go to the statistics part, and then wait till the spring to kind of pick up anything we missed in terms of data description or experimental design. I think it works better, with AP statistics, you're typically seniors taking it. It's better to throw the more difficult, challenging material at you the first semester and take it easier the second semester when seniors tend to want to take it easy anyway. So that's why I reverse the order. All right, so that's why you should take AP statistics.